Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
What's the outstanding interest at the moment is $60,000?
The current outstanding interest is $47,122.60. The loan estimator anticipated an additional like $13,000 of interest accrued between now and the end of my grace period.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I just wanted to give a shout out for anyone who is interested in being a guest. It is completely anonymous, so we'll let you choose a fake name and we will hide identifiable information so you can come on the show and share freely. It is a full hour to an hour and a half with me, Barbara, and we'll do a deep dive on your finances, where you're doing well, where maybe you're struggling, and come up with a game plan for how to reach your financial goals. To be a guest, you just need to put a submission in either on Instagram or on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com. And you just need to be a female. As we've said before, this podcast is produced with Amy, Alex, and myself, so an all-female team, and our goal is to help improve financial education amongst women. So that is why we interview women about their finances. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in being a guest, please put in a submission on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com, or send us a message on Instagram. Hello, and welcome to Financials Podcast, Future Rich. I am your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I am here with my guest today, Dr. Pepper Potts. Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I like your name. So why don't you tell our listeners and myself a little bit about you, age, location, job, income, all that jazz.
Yeah, sure. So I'm 38 years old. I just completed medical school and I'll be starting my general surgery residency this starting July, even though I'm in the hospital a bit already this month. I am now based out of New Jersey.
Amazing. Congratulations.
That's it. Thank you.
And so that means since you're done with medical school and you're going to residency, so now you'll be earning some money as a resident?
Yes.
Walk us through that.
Debatable on that, as everyone's familiar with, depends on how many work hours you log. But yes, technically, I'm out of student status, which is really nice. I've signed a contract. I'm a salaried employee of the hospital directly. It'll be wonderful to receive a paycheck again. It's been quite some time. But the work hours can go far beyond what is expected and certainly what is technically financially compensated.
Okay. So how do they, like, so what do they give you an offer letter with like an approximate income or is it like an hourly rate? Like how do they do it?
Yeah. So they did a contract. My contract is for $74,336. There's some coins in there too. For the year. Perfect. And that's starting July 1, 2025 through June 30th of 2026.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so you're going to make approximately $74,000.
Correct.
Amazing. Okay, gross. And then I presume you get medical benefits through them and like 401k or 403b, depending on the contract.
Yes. So I will be getting those. I'm currently undergoing a lot of the onboarding and I don't have those numbers for you yet. Okay. I did work with one of the current residents to try to get a breakdown from his paycheck.
Okay.
And it looks like the monthly on the health insurance is, I think it's $50.
A month?
A month.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. And then, and is it a 403b that you have access to?
I don't know if it's a 403b or a 401k yet. I haven't had the meeting with that HR. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of that onboarding information quite yet.
But this is nice. So before you were a student, so you didn't have any income, right, for medical school. So this is a big change.
That's correct. You know, I'm an older student that is going through this process. And so even though becoming a doctor was always my goal since I was very, very young, I took a more roundabout way of getting there. This is technically my third career. And so I do have a number of investment accounts and savings from those previous jobs. So that helped propel me into getting to where I'm at now.
Yeah, because not always, but so you didn't go right. You didn't go right to medical school. So then why don't we jump into that? So everything is really new now since you're starting your job. We're recording this rather. Well, I'm not sure when it'll air, but we're recording this before July 1st. So you have your income, but you haven't gotten your first paycheck and we haven't gone through the benefits yet. So you probably know some of your expenses maybe. Do you already have an apartment where your residency is going to be?
Yep, I do. So I am living in a one bedroom, one bathroom apartment. My rent is $2,400 a month. Thankfully, that includes a number of utilities. It includes my water, sewer, garbage utilities. It includes gas, which is supplying the heating. The only thing that I have to pay as far as utilities is power. And although I'm not familiar with this area, I was able to obtain high-low averages for this zone by calling the power company. And it looks like roughly $130 a month for power.
Okay.
And then Wi-Fi, my plan is $50 a month. Although once I get my hospital credentials, I'll get a little bit of a discount. Thank you for Verizon Fios for that discount.
That's great. Okay, so then all in, you'll be closer to $2,600 because it was $2,400 all in?
Yeah, so all in closer to about, $2,600, just under.
Okay, perfect. And then what are your other, do you have a cell phone, like groceries?
Groceries.
Car?
Yeah, so... Well, I'll start from the top. So my car is totally paid off. So the only expenses I have for car would be things like gas, maintenance. So
insurance.
And insurances. Yeah. So that all in all per month is around $250.
Okay.
There's a lot of driving on the East Coast and involved here.
Yes.
Groceries. I'm basing a lot of these numbers off of last year for my grocery bill. And so that was $500 a month on groceries.
Okay.
I like to shop at Whole Foods. I'm not going to lie.
As those who are not from the East Coast, we refer to that as whole paycheck.
Yes. Yep. Let's see. Other expenses. What was the third one you asked me? Cell phone. Cell phone. I'm on a family plan that I contribute to. Thanks, Mom and Dad. So I'm really only paying $15 a month.
Fantastic. Okay. And then what about streaming, subscriptions, gym, all that other stuff? You might not have time for some of that stuff, huh?
Oh, gosh. I always try to make time for the gym. It's part of my sanity. So I have yet to set up a box gym here, but I do maintain a Peloton subscription for $26 a month.
Okay.
So no current gym subscription, but I would budget paying no more than like $75 a month on top of that. So I think all in, we're about $130 to $150.
Okay, on fitness.
On fitness for the month. Other subscriptions, there's like streaming subscriptions, all of those. I think I would probably put subscriptions up to 350.
Okay.
Including like the fitness subscription.
Including fitness. Okay. So like,
yeah,
entertainment, like, yeah, fitness, Peloton, all that. Okay. Okay. Food. And, single, partnered, married?
Single girl.
All right. Okay. I thought so, but I wanted to just confirm. So, okay. So let's see where we are, give or take, for expenses. So we'll say about $2,600 all in with the utilities for the apartment, car, expenses, groceries, and then we'll say all subscriptions at $350, including fitness, and $15 for your cell phone. So that brings you in around $3,700 a month. Does that sound? I mean, I know it's all, it could potentially all change this year, but does that sound like about where you were last year?
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Okay, perfect. And where were you last year? Just curious.
So last year was kind of a fun time in medical school. You do different rotations every 4 weeks that they call your sub internship or audition rotations. So okay. I actually was stationed at a different hospital every month for the last year, which meant that I was living in what's called midterm housing. So not short term like Airbnb, but like a minimum of 30 days stay. The app I was using is called Furnish Finder, which is fabulous. It's renting these furnished apartments. It was born out of trying to find and service traveling medical professionals. So it was a really great situation for me because I wasn't locked into any kind of rent contract for longer than what I needed. So that rent varied, and I was traveling around with a partner at the time, but my rent cost was like half of what I'm currently paying now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm paying a little bit more in rent, but I'm established in arguably a much larger space than what I experienced all of last year.
Well, that'd be nice to have a bigger space. And I would imagine that the residency is a bit intense, not being a doctor. I don't.
Yeah, I expect to have some pretty long hours at the hospital. But again, you know, the people that can stay in this for a lifelong career, we're not really doing it for the money. Like, being well compensated, of course, is what everyone wants in their job. But you just have to really love what you're doing and the patient population that you're working with, or with your client population for people who are not in medical fields. And so you gotta have to kind of love it if you're gonna avoid burnout. And that'll happen at time to time, but to be able to pull yourself out of that and still go back to the job. And it's so interesting. Some of my longest days in the hospital, some of my longest days in the OR, even as a student, I thought, man, this is it. Like, this is living the dream. So there'll be long days at the hospital, but I have a really nice apartment that's even walkable to the hospital. So now I'm saving money on gas. I'm reducing a lot of the wear and tear on my vehicle. And I have a really nice, quiet, safe space to recover and recuperate. And that was really important to me.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you prioritize spending on a nice apartment that was close to the hospital. Makes total sense. So you're going to be spending, of what you're taking home, which I was just trying to calculate for you where I think you'll be, give or take, for taking home. I don't know if you have a city tax where you are, but in New Jersey, you should be paying about 5.25, give or take. You are going to be in the 22% single bracket, but you're not really too far into it. Plus, you know, I will get into it, but I presume you'll get your standard deduction, which would lower the amount that would be taxed at that. Plus, if you end up contributing anything to the work plan, that'll reduce it. So I'll use, we say, about 16, 17% for your effective tax rate, somewhere in there. This is just me very ballpark. So let's just say you're paying 22% all in on taxes between federal and state. And then you're going to be paying the 7.65% for Medicare and Social Security. So we'll just round that up and say 30% for tax. Rough. This is like for all of our listeners, this is a very rough number, but if we can just get an idea about where your net income would be. So we'll say 74,000 times 70%, which is what you'd approximately take home, give or take. We will say 51,000. So 51,000 divided by 12, you'll be bringing home about 4,200 a month. And that's before maybe 4,250. And this is like if these tax numbers are about right. So, and we said your expenses are about 3,700. And so that would leave you with a gap of $550. So not a huge gap, right? If you think about it from a weekly standpoint, that's like an extra $100 a month or extra $100 a week, give or take. And so it'll be curious to see, but with that ballpark, that gives you an idea of like, if you were going to contribute to, and you wanted to make sure you had enough, right? Because coming out of school, I imagine the next thing we didn't talk about would be student loans that you might have. So, if you were going to be paying for student loans or saving, that would be kind of where the gap was. And hopefully I'm a little off on the tax and you have like 600 extra a month, but just to have a ballpark while we're talking.
Okay. So right now I'm in my grace period because I just graduated medical school. So my first payment is not due until November of 2025. So this year.
Okay.
However, because interest was accruing the entire time during school, I have both a unsubsidized loan and then a Direct Plus loan that I pulled out for all 4 years of medical school. The interest that is remaining at the end of this grace period can be capitalized onto my principal. Yes. So one thing that I'm considering doing, even though my first payment isn't due until November, is trying to wipe clean the current balance of interest so that I don't increase that overall number that, you know, moving forward from November that I'm paying my monthly on.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
So I have a series of between savings and two different investment accounts that I'm trying to figure out what I want to do with and how I want to manage that to pay that out. Because the total interest that I would want to pay over the next 6 months is something like $60,000.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So why don't you walk me through, okay. So how much do you have outstanding in student loans?
So outstanding in student loans, I have total principal is $477,863.
Total in principal. Okay. So $477,863.
Yes.
Okay. And then what's the outstanding interest at the moment is 60,000.
The current outstanding interest is $47,122.60. The loan estimator anticipated an additional like 13,000 interest accrued between now and the end of my grace period.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. That's a lot. It's growing quickly.
Yes.
Okay, so talk me through, you could do, or can you do, I mean, you know who you're employed by, I don't. Can you do the public service loan forgiveness? Would that make sense?
Yes. So as I understand it, the public service loan forgiveness program is after 120 consistent loan
consecutive payments.
Yep. Then you can apply for this type of loan forgiveness, as long as that entire time you've worked for a company or an employer that qualifies. Thankfully, my residency program that just contracted me to start, they do qualify for public service loan forgiveness. So at least for this year, that I'll have 1 year that counts towards that. I'm in an interesting situation because my residency position is a 1 year contracted position. It's called a preliminary position. And that's because I'm needing to reapply to the match system. And I'm going for my dream job, which I'm trying to continue to chase down, which is orthopedic surgery.
Okay.
So hopefully I land that job, and that happens to be at a hospital that is also qualifying of public service loan forgiveness program. But we won't know yet.
You won't know. Okay. And then the curious thing is, you're going into a specialty, which means you will be a higher paid medical professional. Because remember, with the public loan service, public service loan forgiveness, it is income. You have to be on one of the income-based plans, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And so depending on where your income falls, right? Because the residency would be for 4 years. And then if you go into orthopedic, is it another four years from there?
So this is what I'm currently in, is a 1 year contracted position. And then if I land ortho next year, it's an additional 5 years of residency.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Yeah. So we're looking at
6 years.
6 years as a resident, correct?
6 years as a resident. Okay. And then as a resident, wow, what a time investment, huh? So a decade, right?
Yeah, more than a decade.
More than a decade. Okay, because then what happens after? You do a year here.
Right. If you include medical school, 4 years of medical school, and then at best 5 years, 6 years in a surgical field, then you have the option to further specialize in what's called a fellowship. And depending on what type of training you want to do, that could be anywhere from 1 to 3 years.
Okay. And then, but in theory, so it's possible that you spend the next 10 years refining your specialty.
Yes.
Okay. And your income for this time frame, is it going to be, if you're a resident, I presume you're making less, right?
Mm-hmm.
74 than what you would do is once you get done, because since you're going to try the public service loan forgiveness, my one concern with it is, you would choose an income-driven repayment option. Often, but not exclusively, that means you're on the income-based repayment, which means they're going to take a percentage of your income, right? And that's how they're going to derive your payment, which means, as you're seeing here, the interest just over this period that you want to tackle is going to be close to $60,000. And with your principal amount at close to $500,000, the interest will accrue and capitalize very rapidly on that amount of debt. And so if for some reason you should decide to not do the specialty or not go to the fellowship, and then your income goes up, you would want to commit to being in this for 10 years, because otherwise, if you don't, your balance on what you owe is going to be really high.
Yes.
Okay. You just want to, if you do it, you want to stick with it. I would say it would make sense to stay.
You don't want to change
it.
Correct. Yeah. Once you choose a repayment plan, you really want to stick with it. And that's my understanding as well, because the capital can get worse if you start in an income driven repayment plan and then you switch from it, or you no longer qualify for.
It'll be disastrous at a starting value of $500,000. I would say it would be disastrous, because the amount of interest and the amount that's going to be capitalized, because you're paying such a small portion of the interest each month, right? And it's a daily calculation, would be like, if you're 5 years in and you're like, yeah, I'm going to go work for a different hospital, it doesn't qualify. Like, the amount you would have to spend on your loan payments would be astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, here's what I'm going to say, what people I think are thinking, well, she's going to be a doctor. No, it still won't math. You know what I'm saying? Like, it won't be worth it, is what most likely. I can't say without certainty, but most likely because of the capitalization of interest. Mm-hmm. If you go into this, it's a phenomenal program, but yes, you want to get in it and then you want to stay in it so you get this debt forgiven.
I agree.
Okay, amazing. I just want to make sure, because for those listening to me, well, it wouldn't be a big deal, she'll be a doctor, but it will be, because even if your income goes up, you're going to pay a lot more in taxes. People don't always realize that, but as you make more money, you do pay more money in tax. I feel like there's some rhetoric online that's like, you know, wealthy people don't pay tax, and that might be true for certain people who are not on an ordinary income schedule, right? And so as a doctor, you're going to be on an ordinary income schedule, you're going to be getting W-2. So the more you make as you you know, come out of your residency, the more you will pay in tax, but your student loan payment is an after tax expense, right?
Mm-hmm. So it is. And it's those non-income driven repayment plans are a percentage based mm-hmm. off of your income. So as that changes Correct. And as you say, become, you know, an attending and you're making a lot more, not only are you paying more in taxes, but your monthly student loan is also increasing.
Exactly. But I don't think if you start and do 5 years in the income, like let's say you do income based for 5 years, the amount your loans are going to grow by is going to be so severe mm-hmm. that it would never make sense to not be in the program, even if you were an attending residence or you had your specialty, because you'd have to make so much to pay that off.
Right.
Because your loans at that point could be $750,000,
$800,000. Right.
Yeah. So I think this is a great way to go. I think this program works really, really, really well because we need doctors. We need these specialties, and the amount of money it costs to get them, it's so expensive. So if you're able, and ideally it's the whole time you're doing your training, you're qualifying, right? And then you're mm-hmm. able to just get it forgiven. And the nice thing about this particular program is there's no tax hit at the end of it. So So it's just forgiven. You do have to qualify every year. So that's important. You do have to, you're going to be switching, it sounds like, a lot, but like, let's say when you get into the orthopedic and that's 4 years at the same hospital, we'll just say for theory sake, you do need to recertify your employment every year, even if it doesn't change.
Yeah. As I understand it, I need to recertify my employment, do an income verification and
yes.
Recertify my household number.
Yes, exactly. Because that changes. And should you decide you want to get married in the next 10 years, most likely, it usually isn't your best scenario to do married filing separate. Not always you want to run the numbers, but oftentimes when you're in these programs, you do not file jointly with a partner.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, so you want to, we were airing it, it hasn't aired yet, but I recorded it with a guest yesterday, and she's so excited because after 10 years, they're finally doing married filing joint.
Aw, congratulations to them. That's exciting.
Yeah, she's very, very landmark. Yeah, she's like, my husband, who is a doctor, finally had his loan forgiven, and so now we can do married filing joint. And I was like, oh, that's great.
Awesome.
So, yeah, some nuances there. It's a fantastic program, but I just think the big catch is you just want to make sure if you get in it, especially with the amount of loans, is you stay in it, mm-hmm. and you just look for those positions where you can stay with a qualified employer.
Okay, great.
And then it's not like I don't want to say a non-issue, but then it really isn't a big part. You're like committed to this. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're getting through paying off, you know, medical school. And then you just don't worry about it. It's just part of your budget for the income-based repayment. And then you don't worry about it because then it's forgiven and there's no tax bill.
Yep. Perfect.
Okay. Amazing. And then why don't you talk to me about any other debt?
I do have some credit card debt.
Okay. How much do you have there?
Being a student and living on some loans and some credit card debt. I have a total of $30,000 in credit card debt.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. So then why don't you talk to me what you said that you know, prior careers, you have some investments. Why don't you talk to me about what you have and then we'll go through what your questions are.
Sure. I have a 403B investment from a previous career. Okay. I just checked the numbers on that today, and that's sitting at $103,357.
Amazing.
And then I have another investment account with a different brokerage that is currently sitting at $69,533.
Okay, perfect. And that's just a regular investment account.
Yes. So I'm in the process of taking that first investment account that I mentioned of 103 and change and rolling it over into an IRA. And then the plan is to convert, especially now that I'm at like a lower tax bracket. Mm-hmm. I'll have to pay taxes up front, but convert it into like a Roth IRA.
Okay, perfect. You're going to want to check where you fall. You do have an accountant?
I do.
You're going to want to check with your accountant on the tax burden, because with $74,000 in income, you're going to owe on it. And I would say I'm on the fence, because with your because you want to pay out of it because you're 38. So you want to pay with the taxes out of it with out of another pocket is what I like to say. So not from the account itself, because that would then trigger the under 59.5 distribution. Mm-hmm. And that will put you more firmly in the 22% bracket, right? Federally speaking. So I don't know if 22% is really a savings to do the conversion. It would have been a great time to do it during medical school. You had no income during medical school.
Correct.
That would have been like an ideal time to do it because your income was zero, I presume, as a student.
Yes.
So that would have been an ideal time to do it. I'm on the fence about doing it now. 22% could be a savings from where you're going to be in 10 years, I presume. Because what would you anticipate your income to be at the end of this, the residency, fellowship?
At the end of residency, fellowship, the range of income, and it varies across the United States from state to state, but it could be anywhere from $550,000 up to $750,000.
Okay, that's what I was hoping for. Okay, so that'll put you in a very high bracket of, if you're single, then it would put you between 35 and 37. So there definitely is a tax savings. I guess my concern a little bit for it is I love to do Roth conversions when you're in a 0, 10, or 12% bracket. Not to say you can't do it at a 22% bracket, but, and you could do it incrementally. Like you could do, and I would have your accountant run the numbers, but you could do like 10,000 a year. So 10,000 a year though, give or take, you might owe about 2,000 or 2,500 on that conversion.
Okay.
And so if you're comfortable with that, that could work, but you also are going to have a decent amount of expenses on your income, right? Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that 2,500 would be better off being saved in a Roth IRA than doing the conversion.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
Because you will still save, right? Like, so I guess my gut instinct would be see how it goes with what your take home is, but I'd almost say to me, the priority would be getting rid of the credit card debt first rather than staking the money on the conversion because you're still going to be paying taxes. Is there a material difference between 22 and 35 federally? Absolutely. 13% savings in tax. But we also have credit card debt, which I'm going to just take a shot in the dark and say is a high interest rate. So it's going to be greater than 13%, which is the difference between those federal brackets. And would you be better served getting rid of that and then using the money to just save into a Roth now if you have that extra? Mm-hmm. Or you could always split the difference. Or you could say, you know, if I get up a bit higher into the 22% bracket, right? Like if my income goes next year from 75 to 95, I'm going to continue to live like I'm on 75 and then I'm going to do the conversion. Mm-hmm. But I would say the priority is the credit card debt.
Okay. I would agree with you on that.
Okay. That'll give you more breathing room.
Thank you so much for listening to the Future Rich podcast. This is part one of a two-part episode with Dr. Pepper Potts. Tune in for next week's episode on the 4th of July for part two of Dr. Pepper Potts.
Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.